Man, I guess I would just say, me think about that. Anything else that I would want to share?
Their answers to my hardest question on this episode of Every Speaker Has a Story. So I thought this, hey, give us some advice question was an easy question. You know, the one thing the internet teaches us is that the world is not shy of opinions. We don't have a lack of opinions of people telling us what to do. We have plenty of them. But it does turn out that after, you know, a 45-minute interview, asking for specifics on speaking and how that works, that the general question at the end of any last advice is actually really, really hard for folks to get through. And it surprised me over and over again. It's just why it's taken me so long to pull this particular episode together. I have a person on here who I interviewed almost a year ago and hasn't shown up on the show. And sometimes it's just really hard to pull all these together. And this was a very difficult episode to pull together just because of all the range of responses and how awkward people seem to feel about, you know, putting them on the spot and saying, okay, now give me advice. People who've been giving advice and suggestions and really helpful content for 20 minutes, you ask them, okay, now give me advice. And it's like, whoa, wait a minute. So I find that particularly interesting. It feels like at the end of these interviews, people are put in the spot of saying, okay, now you're an expert. Now, as an expert, I want you to tell everybody else what to do. And everybody sort of recoils from that because none of these folks, some of whom are very successful as speakers, none of them feels like an expert who can tell you what to do. And that underlines a lot of this advice is, you know, there's not one answer. So don't look for it. And I love that they hesitated there. I love that it was more difficult for them to come at this answer to what to me seemed like a really simple, generous question at the end. Hey, anything else you want to say? I didn't ask you. But for them, it felt more like, whoa, okay. Wow, let me think about that. So that's really, this is the third of the promised three positive episodes, broken apart by the snowstorm South by Southwest episode from last time. So my first three episodes of the show were kind of, here's some bad stuff that happens, these are, here's some good stuff that happens, and after this, I've got some really strange things happening, and hopefully you'll enjoy them. I think they're kind of fun. So this is a version of the positive, and we're going to do a couple different things with it. The first thing that I'm going to do is I have a mashup, you know, of everybody's sort of advice into this conglomeration. And I just want to see, you know, as I was working with the audio, I thought, this is kind of strange. It's like a wave. It's like a flow. And I thought, I need to replicate the flow that I feel listening to these interviews in some way to sort of like take people on this journey of what it's like asking so many different people with so many different skill sets how to do this. It felt fun, and I tried to recreate how I felt hearing them for you using my audio editing tools. So for the next couple minutes, I want you to listen to that mashup, and then I'll tell you what we're going to do next. You ready? All right. Here we go.
Be on time.
Breathe.
Practice.
Don't focus on things that don't matter, like slides.
There's a phenomenon called death by PowerPoint. Break yourself of that.
Just tell stories.
It's okay to not like it.
Breathe.
Practice.
Preparation and rehearsal.
Step up. Continuously improve. There's no such thing as failure. There's only feedback.
Breathe.
Practice.
Don't get too bogged down in the weeds. Roll with it and do it.
Breathe.
Practice.
You learn by doing. And that's how you learn public speaking. It's how you learn to be an actor. You can't learn to be a dancer by watching a video or reading a book. You have to get out and do it. So
breathe.
Practice. Practice. Practice.
Breathe.
Under promise, over deliver.
And make sure that you learn all the time.
Just be you.
There's a part of me that I have to kind of discover what kind of performer I was or what kind of personality I had and how to best get that across to people.
Don't ever try to be anything but yourself.
You don't want to sound like anybody else.
Speak your truth and live your truth.
You can find your own voice. You can find your own heart.
They know. But if you go up there and you're not representing the things you believe in and the things that you're excited about and the things that you have great and sincere knowledge about, it's going to come across.
Find your boldness.
You just have to go for it.
Go for it. Redefine the impossible.
Say, if you really feel the calling to get your message out, then don't give up.
Breathe.
Go for it.
Go for it.
Breathe.
Wherever you're coming from,
We need people who can convey a message in a way that's really going to make a difference in people's lives. And so I just would encourage people to do that.
We are here. You know, we don't know what tomorrow brings. So while you're here, make sure that today you're at least giving back somewhere and somebody is benefiting from your expertise.
Breathe. Like, it sounds so stupid, but, like, I literally will forget to breathe sometimes. And so you just have to, like, remember, hey, breathe. It's not the end of the world. It's a speech. I don't know. Sometimes I think breathing is, underrated.
Be prepared, be polite, and be on time, and the rest will just happen.
So even though this show is like this giant me talking into a microphone ego kind of trip thing, I feel really weird about admitting that I really like that I just did. I mean, but it's not just me. Listening to their stuff and asking them every time this question about their advice, I got all this cool stuff. And some of it just feels awesome when it's smooshed together like that. So I like it. And I think I'm going to release just a bonus episode of just those couple minutes so that you could listen to only those parts if you find it helpful. For example, a mantra right before you get up and speak. I don't know if that would be helpful for you in your process, but it would be helpful for me to have. So I'm going to do that. Whether you want it or not, it's coming, folks. But in case you want to know who that is, some of whom you've heard before and some of whom you haven't, here's my paper. I had to write it down. Let me go through the names in order. And some of them repeat, Brett and Brian telling us to breathe and practice over and over again. I mean, you hear them a couple times, but from the order of the first time you hear their voice, they are Dane Boyle, Brett Borman, Brian Rutberg, Angelica Mata, Ray Sagern, Joe Fingerhut, Alexandra Raffato-Petty, Bob Hotard, Karen Butrasi, Connor Dillon, Julie Austin, Millie Ray, Lior Zoref, Latarsha Holden, Eddie Lasoya, Dan Matthews, Rob Sternberg, Allison Barksdale, Ryan Lloyd, Bess Zinnes, Mary Shahan, Kathy Groover, Beatrice Navarro, Marcella Zappia, John Donahue Grossman, and Tahar Ali. There's a lot of names, right? A lot of interviews. Yeah, you're listening to this going, this is like episode 7, 8, whatever. I don't think that I've heard this many people on the show, and you have it in some ways. I have a lot of people on each episode. I have a lot of interviews in the can just waiting. And if you saw my computer, I have all these folders full of thematic elements, and I'm just waiting for enough stuff to show up to feel like I have a full episode. So that's a little bit about my process. I make sourdough. I make kefir, if you don't know what that is. They're all fermented, and so I'm letting things ferment in the computer just like I do on my countertop. And I like the idea that they just sort of sit and work with each other. And I don't think that my audio files are talking to each other on my computer when I turn it off in like Toy Story style, but I do feel like things happen when I put pieces of people's ideas together. And I guess that's kind of what this whole episode's been about so far, is what happens when you put things together. For example, this episode, I had a folder called Final Advice, and I put all these sort of clips in there, and I just didn't know how to organize it. I was like, I'm not going to give you 8 pieces of advice. I just don't think that's helpful. So I thought, all right, I got to find something that connects these things. And so after I mashed up everybody's voice together there, I listened one more time to everything to say, okay, what is a nice takeaway that people can have that they can work with and improve themselves in terms of their speaking? And then it came. After listening to all this stuff, all of a sudden, the theme emerged. And I love that. I love the idea that sometimes we don't know what we're doing until we're doing it. And I'm reminded of the times in which I invented the introduction of a speech in the car on the way to the speech contest in high school or something. And I'm not suggesting everything is improv'd, although I do have an episode coming up on improv-ing and speaking and what those things can learn from each other. So there's a preview. But sometimes it really is important to let things emerge in a surprising way. And my favorite thing about speaking is when something surprising happens. And when I say something, and by saying it, I learn something. And I didn't know I knew that until I said it. But up there in the room with the people in the audience and the ideas and the situation, it just happens. And we don't often think about public speaking as shared. We think about it as I'm standing up here and I'm talking at you. But there's some sharing that goes on that's really fantastic if we let it. And so I have 3 more segments of interviews to share with you. And each person tells us to tell the truth. That was the theme that emerged. Tell the truth. Sounds simple? Not always so simple. So we have three stories about the truths we should tell, and these are the truths that we should tell. Here's my spoiler. You should tell the truth about what you know. You should tell the truth about what you feel, and you should tell the truth about who you are. To start things off, we have Dan Matthews, a former student of mine, who is now a sportscaster and sports reporter.
What's really important, and I always remember this, and it's a rule that one of my mentors in the business gave me years ago, is don't ever try to be anything but yourself. Hmm. And his whole thing about it was, when you're not yourself, you can get into massive trouble. Can run into where, you know, like a Ted Cruz kind of situation in Indiana, where he's talking about something he has no idea about, and he calls it a basketball ring instead of a basketball hoop. And that's one of the things that it's if you don't know, don't go. And I think that it's a situation, too, that another lesson I learned was that don't be afraid to say, look, I don't know. I mean, I've heard before of a buddy of mine on a radio station saying that, like, NFL draft time, they'll bring on some of these draft experts, and just to see if the guy is really telling the truth about what he knows or not, they'll ask him a question about a player that doesn't even exist. And, you know, it's like one of the things that, you know, one of the guys we were sitting with that's a draft expert, he said, hey, look, if that happens, I'm just like, hey, guys, look, I have my top 100. Outside of that, my wife would divorce me, you know, or like, you know, something like that. So, you know, I think that it is, you know, a situation that, you know, I know that some people might think it sounds awkward, but, you know, if they ask me about somebody for Tennessee that I'm not necessarily familiar with, I just maybe really quickly say, hey, not so familiar with that player, but definitely I think the other players in the group, and you know, and I think that's a way that you can kind of rescue yourself in that situation. So I think with time, with effort, with energy, all those types of things, you definitely develop your confidence.
Dan's got some cautionary tales about pretending you know something you don't, about being untruthful about what you know. Joe Fingerhut, our next speaker, is really talking about being true to what you feel. And the difficulty there is it's not just, hey, if you don't know, don't go, as Dan says. It's, well, you know, knowing what you feel is just harder to get around. Let's see.
Really simple thought is, it's not, as a speaker, you know, it's not about what you say. It's about how you make people feel. You know, people won't remember the words you say. They'll remember how you made them feel. And we, as humans, are driven by stories. Like, if you notice, like, it's very crystal clear when I'm watching a video or something, if somebody's speaking about, they're spouting off like platitudes, you know, you can have anything if you put your mind to it. My eyes tend to kind of glaze over. But the second they're like, you know, I was at the store and the clerk told me this and he was wearing this, and then you like tune in. And I took my public speaking course in college, and I was already very comfortable. I'm like, oh, this will be simple. I mean, I can do this. And it was a speech on how describing the process of something. So my speech was – I was an RA, a resident assistant. And so my speech was on the process of becoming an RA and what they look for and stuff. So I started this speech with one of the most dramatic – moments I had as an RA. Like, I'm on duty. I'm responsible for the dorm that night. And at 2 a.m., I get a call from campus security. Like, they found this girl on the rocks on the shore of Lake Michigan, basically unconscious. And they brought her back to the dorm. So I come down, and we have to take care of her. You know, we have to – I don't remember if we called the paramedics or whatever. So I – paint this dramatic picture. Picture the police bringing an unconscious student found on the shore of the lake into your dorm at 2 a.m. You're responsible. What do you do? And I feel like I had the class on the edge of their seat. And then I go into this. The first step of our process is you fill out an application. And then you get an interview with the... And like, after 5 minutes, I was like, I felt great in minute one. And after that, I was like, what the heck am I doing? So What I will say to advice, getting back to that, is based on that experience, is just tell stories. Like, figure out the 5 points you want to make and then figure out stories behind it. And it doesn't have to be your stories. It's like, hey, we want to talk about X. You know, I was reading about this, and guess what Jennifer Lawrence experienced related to X? And then you're just like, whoa, what? And then, I mean, the main thing is just have fun. That's like good. Find the joy in the story, and that joy will relate to the audience.
Unexpected segue into constitutional law. Are you ready? The right to privacy has two different modes. The right of privacy from and privacy to, which sounds weird that way, but it's kind of like that. So often we think of the right to privacy as like the Fourth Amendment, like nobody can come and search and seize things in your car, for example. But the other kind of right to privacy that underscores, you know, like Roe versus Wade and Griswold versus Connecticut and these sort of personal behavior kinds of things is the privacy to do things that you want, you know, in your own home. So there's two different modes of privacy, protection from others and rights to do things. Okay, great. The thing is, the truth has the same kind of double meaning. There is the truth in don't tell lies, don't violate and do things that are not there. But the other element of being true is not just avoiding mistakes, but is being more true than you might feel used to be as true as you're called to be. In other words, for Joe, it's about being honest with how you feel. In his RA story, what he loves about being an RA is not what he said about being an RA. So it's not just you have an ethical responsibility not to tell lies. You have an ethical responsibility to tell all of your truth. And that dovetails with what Beatrice is going to tell us next about being true to who you are when you're speaking. But before we get into that, speaking of being true, I have to admit my enormous lack of professionalism that messes up the audio you're going to hear. I forgot to turn off my phone when I was having a conversation with her. And I have a fairly oldish phone now that has a habit of resetting all of my ringtones like overnight. And it picks the creepiest, weirdest music. It's old video game music, don't judge me, on my phone to become my ringtone for everything. And it's this long, creepy song. Anyway, you're going to hear it because my phone keeps going off in the middle of her conversation. And I'm just, you can hear me like angrily sigh at myself because I'm unable to figure out how to turn it off the whole way. And all these texts keep coming in and dogpiling. Anyway, that happens. And being true to myself is instead of trying to edit that material out, I am letting it happen. So there you go. So you can hear my terrible failure. And it feels perfect because in her side of her audio, you can hear somebody like opening the world's squeakiest door and like walking around, and there's all this sort of strangeness. And speaking of which, somebody just walked by my office and you could hear the steps. I wonder if you could hear them. Could you hear them? Anyway, all of this is there together. And so in the spirit of being true to all things, I am not using the magic of editing to tell a better truth than the one that's real. All right, so here's Beatrice Navarro. Is there anything else, though, that you wanted to share with the audience that my questions didn't allow you to get to, or any last words for everybody that you wanted to share?
I will tell them just go for it. Redefine the impossible. It is possible. It's a matter of also being, to me, it has to do with just being honest. And if you're nervous, they'll know you're nervous. If you're young and inexperienced, they know that. You don't have to try and fake it. Just be there, be prepared, be there in the moment, and go for it. And if you are like so nervous, you have to even tell them, you know what, I'm nervous, but I'm going to just try and do it. And I will appreciate if you help me through this process. Why not? I think to me, it's a matter of people react better if you just tell them. To me, it's harder to try and fake and hide it than to just let it out. You know?
Yeah.
Just be yourself. Just, you know, this is it.
You know, and the students feel like, oh, I just have to fake it. I just have to look put together. I have to look like nothing's happening.
Well, I think it has to do a lot with establishing that respect. Because part of being a good speaker is establishing yourself from the very beginning. But there is, if you learn to show the audience the difference, you can be a subject matter expert. And I don't know, there is some saying in English that, like, not everybody can teach. You may be the best, and you may be an expert, but that doesn't mean you can pass it along and get it out of you in such a way that the audience is going to learn from it. So that's the trick, you know, that balance. I am here. Probably if they're talking to an audience, it's because somehow they gain that.
Sorry, I've got my thing going off here. Rookie mistake, I forgot to turn off my phone. What a loser. All right, go ahead, sorry.
So as I was saying, it's just, it's a matter of, from the very beginning, establishing yourself. This is who I am. This is what I know, and this is why I'm here. Maybe I discover the formula for happiness or youth. And this is what I do for a living, and that's why I'm here talking in front of you. But that doesn't mean I'm a professional public speakers, and maybe I don't do this for a living. So, you know, you have to, I don't know, to me it's organic. You have to show them who you are, and at the same time open yourself to be vulnerable.
Yeah, that's great, because I mean, part of what you know is the things that you know from your experience and your expertise, and you want them to respect that. But at the same time, you need them to respect that you're honest, you know, because it doesn't matter what you know if you're not going to tell them the truth. And so being truthful is almost more important than knowing what you're talking about, it seems like.
Well, if you don't know what you're talking about, as I said, just tell them, this is what I know, but I'm not an expert. And this is what I can tell you, and I can go just so far. And if I don't know the answer, then I may be able to tell you where to find it or get back to you, but in many situations you cannot pretend what you're not, and that's what makes the difference. And if you know, and if you are the expert, then even if you have a fear to speak, if you just let it flow, and as I said, let the audience guide you, ask them what they think, answer their questions if it's a situation in which you can go back and forth answering questions, and depending of the kind of situation, I don't know if I'm making sense.
It does. It's good. That's really good.
So yeah, to me it's a matter of, it's good, I will say to those people out there that are afraid, and it's good. It shows that they're alive and they're human, and it shows that they can connect with the people.
So there's your advice. Tell the truth. Tell your truth and connect with real people. The more we can make this about connections between people, the less likely we're going to waste each other's time, which is what usually happens when we give speeches. So I think we can do better. And I think that we've got a lot of people here today who've helped us think that through. But I understand you may very well be saying, you know, this doesn't give me anything to focus on. Telling the truth is huge. It's too much. I can't when I'm nervous. And yeah, that's true. When you're nervous, it's hard to think big like that. I need to think small. So for those of you who need to think small, in the 20 minutes of this episode so far, what you've said is, you know what, I need more tips, I need more details. Well, let me give you a few details here. These are things that I've developed over time as a professor for 20 years, more than 20 years, teaching public speaking, as a person who coaches and speaks, and as the writer of The Zombie Guide to Public Speaking, which is a textbook that is way more serious than it sounds. It's got a lot of sort of science in it, but it's also got a lot of cheesy zombie jokes to pander. You know, that's how it goes, and that's part of the tip. You know, give us the serious, but give us the fun as well. Anyway, these are things that have been distilled from all of that work into a nice pithy acronym that you can remember when you're freaking out. Ace this, all right? Ace this. I've got seven things for you to think about while you're moving forward and getting ready to give your speech. You ready? Are you? Are you sure? Okay, here we go. Ace this. First, attention getter. Don't start speaking with, hi, my name is blank, and I'm here to talk to you about blank. That's an acronym for that fail, called like the Hamnipitab, hi, my name is blank. Nobody cares. No, I don't know, you know, just don't start that way. When you stand up there, you have a second, you have a minute, you just a tiny bit of time when people are really interested in you because you haven't disappointed them yet. You know, so don't tell us your name. That's super disappointing. Get to our attention. Tell us a story, a statistic, humor, just something interesting and startling. Just make us look at you. Make us care for just a second. You know, just don't thank everybody for being there until they're listening to you. Don't dissipate that productive tension. And for sure, don't have your slides sitting up there with your name and your title so that you dissipate all that tension and we get bored already before you start speaking. I know that you've seen other people do that at conferences. That's not a thing to do. It's not right. Just because you've seen people do it doesn't mean, you know, if all your friends were going to jump off a bridge, would you do too? Come on. It's just not. So start with an attention getter. Second, citations. Cite your sources. I know this sounds like, oh, wow, high school or college. But we're not talking about, you know, APA or Chicago or MLA style or something like that. But you have some evidence. Tell us where it's from. In the era of fake news, this is more important than ever before. You've got to tell us why we should trust your information. And so don't be like, you know, again, MLA style. But instead, if you're citing from the Zombie Guide to Public Speaking written by Professor Steve Vroman from Texas Lutheran University, who's written books and blah, 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 that sounds a little bit better. You know, if you're giving me, hey, by the way, you should cite your sources. We live in a world where people don't cite sources. The most common place is people hear people talking at you, which is what? Business settings, television, church, school. People don't cite their sources usually. And so we get out of the habit. We feel like professional life is somehow not filled with information that has sourcing and value and meaning. And it should. It's just lazy to not cite your sources. And it will feel weird the first time you do it because honesty feels weird when you first try it. But it's important. It will set you apart and it will make your material far more believable than it has been up until now. E is for energy. Have energy. Imagine you're sitting in a room reading stories to 42 four-year-olds. You couldn't just be like, good night, moon. Good night. You have to bring it. I give this assignment to my students in class. They have to come with some energy. Keep people excited. Keep people awake. If you don't care enough about what you're talking about to wake up, why should I? Have energy. It is so key. Longinus, thousands of years ago, said that good rhetoric needs enthusiasm, and it was the echo of a great soul. If you don't have energy, your soul is not great. Come on, you can do better. T is for transitions. I know we're getting really into the weeds of sort of public speaking class here, but we're almost done. Transitions are, hey, now that we've talked about, you know, energy, let's talk about transitions. See how that works? You were spacing out. Were you spacing out? Some of you were getting sleepy there. I could feel it. I could feel you getting sleepy as you walked around the track with this in your headphones. You're like, I'm spacing out a little bit. And so what you needed was for me to say, now that we've talked about energy, let's move on to transitions. And you're like, okay, that's what we're doing now. And now you feel like you're totally aware. You spaced out. Look, the audience spaces out. They stop paying attention for a little while. They think about lunch. They check their phone. They look out the window. We need to be realistic. They're not listening to you most of the time. But that doesn't mean that you can't connect with them. And so providing them an organizational structure that allows them, that constantly is telling them where they're going, is helpful. Sometimes it sounds juvenile, but it works. The difference in terms of effect that this has is enormous. And so think about it. Your job is not to put titles on the top of your slides. Your job is to tell us where we are and connect with us. H is for humor. Have some humor. You know, this doesn't mean like knock-knock jokes or whatever. But humor is always appreciated. It's always needed. You know, when I get gigs to do keynote speeches, more often than not, people are interested in whether or not I can be funny. So it's not like the professional world is this dead place full of zombies shambling around. See, this is why I did the metaphor in my book. People want to be awake and they want some humor and they just do. And we could argue about whether or not humor is appropriate for all settings or what kind of humor. And that's a great conversation to have for another episode. But in general, you want to have humor. I is for eye contact. I know I cheated here, right? This is I like an eye. I was like me, but I really mean I like eyes, and they're all kind of the same, whatever. But I mean, look at people. If you're afraid they're not paying attention to you and they hate you, you should look at them and know for sure. And then tell a joke. If you're afraid they're not paying attention, they don't understand, and you're a you know what I mean kind of person when you talk, it means you want to know if they know what you mean. How about you look at them and find out if they know what you mean? It's just, you should look at them. You just should. And I know you probably look over people's heads or whatever because some high school oral communication teacher told you to do that if you're nervous. That and the imagine they're in their underwear, the two worst pieces of advice in the world. Or you just sit and stare at your PowerPoint and you're the only one who's paying attention to your PowerPoint. And you've created what Gar Reynolds calls a slidgement. Instead of knowing what you're talking about, you just read off your PowerPoint and go, oh, here we're on this slide. Yay, great. I don't need to listen to you. You have nothing to teach me. So look at us. Last. We're almost done. I've been doing this for 7 minutes. You're getting ready to sleep. Stories. Tell us stories, like Joe Fingerhut said. Just tell stories. We need to connect with other people. We need to connect with you, with each other, and with the people you're talking about, and you need to tell us stories. We love stories. The world is a world of stories from which we draw good reasons. As Walter Fisher, the rhetorical critic, argues, we live for stories. Absolutely. We still need statistics and other kinds of things, too, but at the end of the day, tell us stories. So ace this. Get our attention. Cite your data so that we trust it. Have energy to connect with us. Have transitions to help us know what you're doing. Give us humor and stories and eye contact to connect with us as people. That's how you ace this. So if you wanted specific advice, that is the distillation of 25 years. And that's the show. Thanks for listening. Thanks for everybody who participated. The next episode is going to be a bit of a surprise because I finished my negativity sequence. I finished my positivity sequence with that South by Southwest bit in between. But moving forward, there's a couple things that I want to have happen. First is it's been really, really a challenge to put these episodes out even in a month-by-month fashion while being a professor and director of general education and all the things that I do. So I just feel glad that I'm able to mostly get them out once a month. Of course, all the podcasting sort of blogs and services say, you should put one out once a week to increase your audience. And I'm thinking, once a week? My God, are you kidding me? Forget it. But with summer coming up, I may have a little bit more time to produce a few more episodes, although I've got a raft of things to write and work on and other kinds of stuff. But I'm hoping to accelerate the pace either way, whether it stays slow or becomes faster. I do have some surprises in store, so I hope you keep listening for those. And I hope if you've liked anything or any of these have been helpful for you, that you would share them with others, especially folks that you know who are nervous or have some speaking coming up and might need to, listen through some of these issues to process what's going on. So connect with me. Let me know what you're thinking. That's More Brains with a Z on all the social media platforms that you would like. And my blog, morebrains.blogspot.com, has some extended thoughts about many of the issues that have come up in these episodes if you want to look there. And finally, I've pitched it a couple times in this episode, and not necessarily because I think you're going to go out and buy it, but The Zombie Guide to Public Speaking is a pretty cool book if you are in the mood for reading a public speaking textbook, which has to be like, how often does that ever happen, right? But if you were, it's there. So all of that awkwardness wrapped up, I am, as always, in my office in Langner Hall at Texas Lutheran University in Seguin, Texas. Thank you for listening. I'm Dr. Steve Froman.